As we know, we just finished celebrating the incredibly joyous holiday of Purim, and now we're well on our way to celebrate the and get ready for the holiday of Pesach. But there's a fascinating Gemara before we go away from Purim. There's a fascinating Gemara, Maseches Megillah Daf Yudalev, which, to be very honest with you, never really meant much to me at all. Until a number of years ago, Rav Asher Weiss shared with me his perspective on what this Gemara means, and it made it become very much alive and extremely relevant. So let's learn through the Gemara, and we'll take something out from there which is relevant to this week's Parsha as well. The Gemara tells about the perspectives of Ahasuerus and Haman. So it tells us in the Gemara, Mashal da Ahasuerus v'Haman l'maha davar doma. This story of Ahasuerus and Haman is similar to the following. The Shnei Bnei Adam, you have two individuals. Le'echad hayelo tel b'soch sadeo. One of them has a big mound, one of them has a heap of dirt, of earth, of soil. U'le'echad hayelo charitz b'soch sadeo. And the other one has a big ditch, a deep ditch inside of his field. Bala Charitz Amar, the one who has the ditch in his field, says, Mi Yetem Li Tel Zebedamim, how am I going to ever fill up this ditch? It's dangerous, someone could fall in, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need dirt to fill it up, but it's going to cost me a fortune. Bala Tel Amar, the one who owns this big mound, this big heap of dirt, says, how am I ever going to get rid of this? I'm going to have to hire a company to come and take the dirt away, and then finally I'm going to be broke from getting rid of all this dirt. Liyamim, after a while, Nizdab Guzeil Tzazeb, this one meets the other one. He says, oh, I have a ditch in my field. He says, oh, I have a big mound of dirt. And he says, please, go ahead and take it. Says the Medrash, I'm sorry, says the Gemara, that's what the story of Ahasuerus and Haman was similar to. To somebody who had a ditch, to somebody who had a big heap of dirt, and they meet each other, and everyone's very happy. So what exactly does the Gemara mean to teach us? What is this Mashal really supposed to indicate at all? I never really understood it, never really paid too much attention. I read through the Gemara, nice story, and I moved on. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested the following, and he said, based on the famous comment of the Medrash, Chazal tell us halacha, there is a well-known, we shouldn't really say halacha, but that's the lashon that Chazal used, Biyodua she'esav son el Yaakov. We know that Esav and Yaakov have had a relationship of hostility for many, many centuries, for many, many millennia, and that's what the Medrash tells us, it's a halacha. And like Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, they have made sure to fulfill this halacha bidikduk uvihidarav. They have made sure to do it with all the pratim and dikdukim. They have made sure to hate us as much as possible to show their outrageous ability, their barbaric and inhumane activities in trying to exterminate and trying to annihilate and massacre the Jewish people. That has been something we have been subject to b'chol dar v'dar in every generation. It's something that Purim reminds us of. It's something that Pesach we think about as well. And it's something that unfortunately every generation of Jews has been afflicted with. And it's something that, once again, we see now. We see that there are so many anti-Semitic acts being provoked all over the world, and this is something that should be of thought to us. It's something we should consider and think about. So Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that when we say that halacha biyadua she'esav son el Yaakov, that sort of means halacha like halacha l'moshe misinai. We have no justification. We have no rationale. Like halacha l'moshe misinai. We don't really understand. Why did tefillin have to be black? You have a rationale for it. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. It is what it is. So to over here, halacha biyodua esav son el Yaakov. It doesn't have to be a reason. There doesn't have to be a rationale, a justification. That's what it is. That's the way the world is. There's always going to be this feeling of venom, of hostility, of terrible hate between Esav and Yaakov, and that's just the way the world is going to go. And when you think about it, it doesn't really make any sense at all. Not just that we don't understand it, it's really counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense at all. If you look about how much Jews have been involved, how much they've contributed, how committed we have been, how much they've tried to advance and strengthen the economy of the given country that they happen to be in any respective generation, how much they're involved in all the economics, in the industry, in the commerce, it's something that we've been full contributors to. And then you think about how faithful and loyal we were to the governments, how much we pay taxes, how much we were interested in being involved and in trying to be honorable and dependable citizens to any country that we were given the opportunity to live in. And yet we find that with all of that, take for example the Girush HaSfarad, that was when the Jews were kicked out of the communities in Spain or other communities there. You look into the history of that, the Abarbanel, it is told over, the famous Abarbanel at the time served as the Sar Ha'otzar Shel HaMelech. He was the treasurer of the king. The Abarbanel was the treasurer of the king. It meant he was a very faithful and loyal citizen. He was doing as much as he possibly could to contribute to society. And yet, our punishment, after all that we gave, after all that we contributed, after all that we were involved, was that we were expelled and they tried to annihilate us there as well. And you look at the generation of the Shoah, and we are very much integrated into society then as well. L'tzareinu HaRav, there was a big push for people to be a little too integrated. We're not judging them, but that's what was happening very much at the time, and they tried to blend in, and they wanted to become one with the German culture, and they were proud of everything that the German culture represented, and yet it turned around and it hurt us, and it turned around and they caused such destruction. This is something that Chazal tell us, halacha, biyadua she'esav sona liyakov. There is no rationale, there is no justification. We can give as much as we have for the country, we can be as involved as possible, we can try and give all that we can possibly do to better the country and to better the civilization in which we inhabit, but yet there is no justification, there is no excuse, there is no reason, and there's no rationale for the hatred, for the animosity, for the venom that is spit out against the Jewish people and that is given back for all that we have given them. And yet, although we have anti-Semitism that takes different forms in every generation, there are two basic forms in which it takes. And this, I find, is a very profound insight. The Chasam Sofer I once saw has a similar insight. I didn't see it in the Sefer of the Chasam Sofer. I saw someone quoted from him. I don't know if it's true or not that he said it. But I think it's a historical insight, and I think it's very true. And Rav Asher Weiss pointed out the following. He says, there are some generations where the Jewish people are looked upon with feelings of jealousy, with feelings of enviousness. The other nations of the world, the mother country in which we might live, is jealous of the fact that the Jewish people are able to have so much prestige, we can have so much prominence, we can have so much influence, we are able to be successful, we are able to be people who prosper and who are powerful and strong in the government and in everything we do. In some generations, that causes others to be jealous of us. How could it be that this Jewish people, how can they rise to be so powerful? How can they be so much in control? How can they run the money? How can they run the government? And that's one type of anti-Semitism that comes about as a result of the successes of the Jewish people. In other generations, we find a very different attitude, and that is that the Jewish people are treated with a sense of indifference. The Jewish people are treated with a sense of inferiority. You are substandard. You're not really deserving of being human beings like everyone else. There is something about the Jewish people that is not up to par with the rest of the world. And these are the two forms that anti-Semitism takes, more or less. In different generations, it goes in different waves. And that, said Rav Asher Weiss, is what it means here in the Gemara, that we have Achashverosh and Haman as the Baal HaTel and the Baal HaCharitz. In some generations, they look at the Jewish people as the tail, as the mound, as the powerful, as the influential, as the ones who are being successful. And they look at us with animosity because they're jealous of the fact, how can you be so successful? A small people, they don't even talk this language, they don't integrate with anyone else, they're not part of civilization, they keep to themselves, they have their own shuls, their own practices, and yet, somehow they're able to be so successful. And that's the cause very often for anti-Semitism, like the Baal HaTel, the one who has the big mound of dirt in his property, he doesn't know how to get rid of it. On the other hand, we have some generations that look at the Jewish people as the Baal HaCharitz. They're just a big pit in the middle of civilization. We don't know how to get rid of this problem. How are we going to rid ourselves of the Jewish problem, of these people that are substandard, of these people that are not up to par, of these people that are inhumane, that we think are not really supposed to be deserving of a chance to live on this earth? That is the two perspectives that anti-Semitism has taken over the many, many millennia that we have faced it. And that's what the Gemara means. Achashverosh and Haman had two different perspectives, and that is indicative of what the two perspectives would be throughout our history. And yet they meet each other and they shake hands and they say, we're both in it for the same goal. We both have one perspective, one prerogative, and that is, we just want to annihilate, we just want to destroy the Jewish people. Behalacha, yadua she'esav sona liyakov, you come because you think they're too powerful, you come because you think they're not helping society, they're not contributing. Either way, both of us have one goal, both of us have one aspiration, and that is to rid the world of the Jewish people. We're not interested in having this problem, we don't want to have to deal with it. So that is, I think, a very meaningful interpretation to this Gemara of the Baal HaTel and the Baal HaCharitz as far as Haman and Achashverosh go. And you think about that comment in that Gemara and you try to apply it to a pasuk in our Parsha. The pasuk writes in our Parsha, Parshas Kisisa. It's a pasuk that we're all familiar with because of the Tanis Tzibur. We lay it on every public fast day. Pasuk says as follows, Vayomer, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Hinei Anochi Korez Bris, I am going to make a covenant. Neged Chalamcha Easeh Niflaos. I will perform in the future. Neged Chalamcha Easeh. I will do. Not Asisi. Not I did. Easeh Niflaos. I will produce wonders and miracles. Asher Lo Nivru B'chal Haaretz V'chal Hagoyim. That the world has never seen. Unprecedented miracles that you have never experienced. V'ra'ar Chal Ha'am Asher Atah B'kirbo. And everyone will be able to see and experience that God is with you. That God is with the Jewish people. Es Maseh Hashem Ki Narahu Asher Ani Oseh Imach. So the Ramban and other Rishonim on Chumash ask, what do you mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam promises us that he's going to perform miracles that are unprecedented, that we've never seen before, that are historic in their very nature? Are we not aware of the fact that we had a Kriyas Yamsif, that we had the Eser Makos, that we had the Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we had Anani Akaba, that we had the Man, that we had the Be'er and the Slav? Those are miracles that the world has never seen. So what does this mean in our pasuk, in our parsha? E'eseh niflaos, I will do, I will perform miracles in a later period in history, asher lo nivru b'chal ha'aretz v'chal ha'gayim, that no nation has ever experienced, that no one has ever seen. These are unprecedented miracles. Ask the Ramban, how can that be? What can God possibly do that's going to be a greater miracle than anything he's ever performed in the history of the world? And this is what the Ramban asks, another Rishonim, and perhaps the interpretation could be as follows. The Chavos HaLevavos writes in his beautiful Sefer Chavos HaLevavos, and I'll read you his terminology. Again, we don't live in a generation where we have Kriyas Yamsuf moments. We don't live at a time where we're able to have a Yitzias Mitzrayim, a Man and the Slav. We don't have that. So says the Chavos HaLevavos, what about us in our generation where we do want to experience feelings like that? I wish I was close to God because I was able to see his incredible power that no one else is able to deny. Says the Chavos HaLevavos, you want to feel that? If a person truly wants to see the same kind of experience that they had on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, on the occasion of Matan Torah, on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, Mashu Domelin Yanamahem, you want something that's similar to that experience? Yabit Be'ayin Ha'emes, you should open your eyes with honesty. And you should think about the fact, Amdeinu Ben Ha'umos Me'es Hagalos, think about the fact that the Jewish people are still standing. They're still here throughout all these thousands of years of exile. V'sider in Yanenu Be'nehem, and the fact that we have been able to prevail, and the fact that we have been able to be successful. That's a greater miracle, says the Chavos HaLevavos, than anything that we've experienced in our history. And he writes, "Im masha'anu bilti maskimim imaim b'seser v'gali," we have denounced all of their ethics and morality. We have made our own system of ethics and morality. We have stuck to ourselves. We have stuck to our traditions. We have stayed to our shuls and to our communities. And yet, says the Chavos HaLevavos, we have emerged stronger than ever before. We have been able to survive and overcome all of those challenges. That, he writes, is, if in our generation we want to feel the same kind of feeling that they felt at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, the way to do that is just to think about the path of our history, to think about how much we've been through and the fact that we are still here. And he writes, this is what the pasuk means, Af gam zos b'yosim be'aretz oyveim, you might be in a forsaken land, you might not be in the promised land where you want to be, but still the Ribbono Shel Olam promises us, Lama'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosim, I will never destroy them, I will never be mefer brisi. And then he quotes a pasuk in Sefer Ezra, Ki avadam anachnu, yes, it's true, we might be subservient to other nations of the world, however, uba'avadosenu la'azavnu elokeinu, our God has never forsaken us, has never left us. That, says the Chavos HaLevavos, is the greatest miracle in the history of creation. That is greater than anything else. And just to close, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a very famous comment. He passed away almost 250 years ago. So he's writing this in the 1700s. He writes in his Siddur, Beis Yaakov, Ve'eich lo yevosh ha-kofer ba-ashgacha. How can you have people who are atheists, who deny the existence of God? Ve'yamod nichlam. How are they not going to be ashamed? Mishe'ayin bi'yichud in yanenu ma'amadeinu ba'olam. If someone just looks at the chart of Jewish history, how can you possibly deny the existence of God? How can you ever come to be an atheist? Anachnu ha'uma ha'gola, we are the people who are abandoned. Sep hezura, we are the most forsaken. We are the ones who are deserted. Achar kol ma sha'over aleinu, after everything that we have experienced, mehatzaros, hatmuros, alafim, mehashana, from the pain, from the misery, from the suffering that we have been through in the past few thousand years, ve'in uba olam nirdefes kamonu, there has never been a people who has been as much oppressed as the Jewish people themselves. Ma'rabim ha'yitzarenu, as much as they have tried to exterminate, to annihilate us, to eradicate the Jewish people, they have never been successful. All of those strong and powerful nations who have attempted to do so, Avad Zichram, Batil Sivram, Sar Tzilam, we no longer have a shadow of influence from everything that they represented. Va'anu hadvekim b'Hashem. And yet us who connect ourselves with God himself, Kulanu chayim hayom, with all the difficulty of these exiles, we are still here. Afilu os v'nikud achas mehatorah shevichsav. Not one word or letter from the Torah has been neglected. V'chol divrei chachamim kayamim. And every word that our chachamim have passed on to us in the traditions throughout all these millennia are still here. They haven't gone anywhere. Lo shalat b'hem yad hazman. Time has not allowed for those mitzvahs midrabanan or for those mitzvahs midaraisa to be destroyed, to be eroded, to deteriorate in any way. Umayana bazeha filosof hacharif. And what is this philosopher going to tell me? What is this atheist possibly going to say? Hayad hamikra asasa kalela? Do you think it's possible that this is just incidental? That this was just an accident? That all this happened by chance? It's an impossibility, he writes. And he says, and he ends off as follows, Chai napshi, I swear, The more I consider, the more I think about these incredible miracles. Gadlu etzli yoser mikol anisim v'niflos she'asa Hashem Yisbarach la'avoseinu b'mitzrayim uv'amidbar uv'eretz Yisrael. This is greater, this is more profound than any miracle that God has performed to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, to the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, to the Jewish people in the desert as they were traveling between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. There is nothing that has been able to outshine this incredible story of the history of the Jewish people. And he says, the longer we are in the Gullus, the more we intensify that incredible miracle, the more it becomes exacerbated, the more it develops, the more it expands, the more we understand how profound a miracle this is. This is perhaps what it means in our Parsha, when the Torah tells us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be E'eseh Niflos, he's going to perform wonders and miracles, Asher lo nivru b'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'gayim, that the world has never experienced, that the world has never seen. That is the miracle of Jewish survival. It's something the world has never seen because it's more profound than any miracle that God has ever performed. So, as we think about the story of Haman and Achashverosh, as we go away from Purim and we continue on to the celebration of Pesach, as we think about in Parshas Kisisa, the miracle that the Ribbono Shel Olam promises is going to be Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, the miracle of the survival of the Jewish people, we ask and we pray in all of our tefillos that we have that opportunity to once again experience those incredible miracles in their complete form. When the Gemara tells us that we will forget about all the previous miracles because the miracles of Yemos HaMashiach are going to be so profound, are going to be so much greater than any miracle we have ever seen up until this point. Yehi Ratzon Shenizkeh, we should all be able to see and experience that incredible day. Rav Hanani ben Akasha.